Chair Champions.
We are the best at sitting in a comfy chair and telling the entire sports world what they should have done and what they should be doing later. Putting it simply, woohoo, everybody. This is Armchair Champions. I'm Jason Walker.
And I'm Evan Hall.
And we've got everything your sporting needs right here. So just sit back like a champ, and we'll go through everything for you. We've got lots of football to lay for you, from college football to NFL. And I hope you like quarterbacks, because we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about quarterbacks. I know, I think quarterbacks are sometimes overrated. It's all about that offensive line, you know. But I was an offensive lineman in high school, so I got that bias.
A little bit of bias.
Just a little bit. All right, but we're going to start off. We're going to talk a little about Utah State football. I know everybody just groaned when I said the words Utah State football, because that's kind of the way we've been feeling. It's kind of been a dumpster fire.
Yeah, a very confusing dumpster fire at that.
Yeah, that too. So it's hypnotizing. It's a hypnotizing fire. You just got to stare into it, and you just can't look away, but you really want to, because it's not worth your time. But either way, we're going to go into, because Utah State, they were on a bye this last week, and this week they're going to play Fresno State. Now, hopefully, they win this game against Fresno State. They darn well better will. And it's probably going to be really cold. It won't be freezing. I was looking at the weather the other day, and it's not that bad, but it's going to be late in the evening. It's just going to be cold. We're going to have another late start. It's going to be another 8:30 start. And so y'all can tune into the pregame show. It'll start around 7:15, 7:30 on Aggie Radio. But looking at Fresno State, they are not very impressive.
No, to say the least.
Not at all. They're 1-6. Looking at their schedule, their one win was a 31-3 win over the Sacramento State Hornets.
Ah.
I've literally never heard of that team. And I've heard of a lot of football teams. Usually when I make a joke like saying they have a football team, I actually usually do recognize the college, whether in basketball or football. But I've literally never heard of Sacramento State.
Me neither.
Yeah, and they've got losses to Toledo, Tulsa, UNLV, Nevada, San Diego State, and Nebraska.
They're on a
five-game losing streak. They lost their first game against Nevada, won their second game. That was Sacramento State. And now they've lost five straight. So obviously they're going to be looking for a win. But if they get it here in Logan, I'm going to flip somebody's lid. I'm just not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Just everything about this game is a time for Utah State to get back on track, get a win, settle down. Utah State's proven that they're better than, that they can play better than bad teams and win against them, against Arkansas State and Weber State. They're only two wins. So obviously this would fit the trend. Beat up on the teams that you're better than, that you're clearly better than, I should say, because they're honestly better than, I would say they're better than Colorado State. They should have won that game.
Yeah.
But they just played below what they're capable of. But here, you're clearly better than this team. They're 1-6. Yes, you're 2-4, so you're not doing a whole lot better. But Utah State, and I said last week they kind of deserve to be 2-4, but I do believe they're a little better than 2-4. Even though they deserve to be where they're at. So this game, hopefully they can pull it together. And some news that I happened to see just a few minutes ago was reported by the Salt Lake Tribune, was where I saw it, is that Devontae Mays might come back for this game. He might be back after being in for Weber State, getting injured against USC, being out for Arkansas State, getting injured his first snap against Air Force. We might actually get Devontae Mays and possibly a running game back.
Hopefully.
Although the offensive line still got a block for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he comes back and he's 100%, That'll be fantastic. I mean, we talk about that running game. You know, if he hasn't played in weeks and he's still the second the second highest rusher on this team. Granted, most of his yards came from one game. Yeah, he needs to make that spark that you know, the offense needs, because, you know, the guy hasn't played in weeks. He's still, like, second best on rushing yards. So,
yeah, and that would be just huge, because that is something we've talked about here on this show, and it's probably been discussed extensively everywhere, is that the running game is really struggling. Tony Lindsay Jr. has had some moments, but really, in spite of some of the stats that he's gotten, I've never felt like the running game for Utah State has been effective in any sense of the word. A lot because of the running backs, a lot of it falls on the offensive line because they're not blocking for the running backs. And then, like I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of the style that Tony Lindsay runs. I don't feel like he's hitting the holes as well as he should be. So that's that with Utah State. We're not going to end your misery and talk about the rest of college football. Although in particular, we have really one marquee matchup in college football this week. That is Texas A&M and Alabama. That's number one Alabama and number six Texas A&M. So this is, it's a pretty big deal because it's a major game in the SEC West. Whoever wins this game will basically have a free ride to the SEC title game and very likely the playoffs. Now, in spite of the fact that it's 1-6, all indications are that Alabama's really probably going to win this game. You look at the spread. Do you have the spread in front of you? I want you to see if you can guess the spread.
Well, I do. I won't look at it.
Okay.
For this game, I'd say it's got to be a 2-score
point spread. You're right. It is over 2-score.
Specifically? I'd say 2 touchdown would be my...
So you're saying like 14?
Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay, you're not too far off. It's 19.
Oh, okay. So that's almost a 3-score if you keep this in.
Yeah, it is. It's almost 3 scores. So pretty much everybody believes that Alabama is going to win this game, and they can't blame them.
Yeah.
Because Alabama is a really good team. They've been at the top of the rankings pretty much all season, and they've shown that they're a good team. Yeah. Really, the only close game they had was Ole Miss, who did.
Granted, Ole Miss had been on a roll.
Yeah, and Ole Miss isn't a bad team,
yeah,
obviously. And they showed that in the fact that they took Alabama to the wire. But even though there's five rankings between these two teams, they're expecting almost 3 scores in between them on the final score.
And so close and yet so far, really.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I guess, the way it is, that Alabama makes every other team feel like they're so far away from being good. Kind of like what they did at USC.
Well, especially like with this game, you look at Texas A&M. Their rushing game, about 275 yards a game, yards a game. But then, you know, they're going up against a defense at Alabama that only lets about 64 yards a game. So the only chance I would say that Texas A&M has in this game is if they find a way to make their run game work. Because, I mean, both teams are kind of similar with the points they score per game and the points they allow per game. And you know, ballpark figures, total yards each team gets somewhat similar. But it's the yards allowed on defense that I think is the real difference here. I mean, or at least by the numbers, the real difference. You know, because Texas A&M lets in a lot more yards on defense than Alabama. Alabama, especially on the rushing game, they're a brick wall when it comes to rushing. So I would say, you know, if Texas A&M wants to win, they got to figure out how to get around that.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you there, because just looking at Texas A&M, you see their quarterback, Trevor Knight, he's completed 53.5% of his passes. He's got 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And, of course, you look at the touchdown ratio for passing versus running. They've got 19 rushing touchdowns to their 9 passing touchdowns. So, obviously, like I said, this is a very run-oriented team. They've got a lot more rushing yards than they do passing yards, which is pretty unusual.
So they're good, and on the exact same, in the exact same area that the Alabama defense is really good. So that's the issue.
And so that'll be matchup. But I would give this to Alabama. It's a lot easier to stop the run than it is like to stop the pass in a lot of cases, especially if you're already good at stopping the run. Because
especially if each run is like a yard per.
Yeah.
If you can block it to only a few yards a carry.
Yeah, if Alabama can hold Texas A&M to 3, maybe 4 yards a carry in this game, and you know their pass defense is probably capable enough of stopping their passing game and their quarterback with Trevor Knight, you know, I don't see Texas A&M being able to move the ball efficiently. Yeah. And that'll be a huge problem, because then it's really just they're going to have to rely entirely on their defense to win the game, which obviously Texas A&M's defense isn't on the same level as Alabama's. It's not going to win them a game except in any rare circumstances.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at Texas A&M, especially on the running game, Travion Williams, one of the running backs, he's credited with 5 of those rushing touchdowns. So if Alabama shuts him down, you know, there's no shot, period. But if he comes out with a night, you know, a career kind of night, then who knows? But I don't know. It's
yeah, and it is a dual threat as far as the run, because you look at the second highest winner, because Travion Williams, he's got 704 yards, like you said, the 5 touchdowns. The second on there is the quarterback, Trevor Knight, who's got 500 rushing yards, and he's actually got more touchdowns. He's got 9, which I thought was interesting. So we've got definitely a very run-oriented team. And I'll be honest, I would probably take the spread, because I just think Alabama is just so much better.
Yeah.
And that is the thing, is I feel like there's just so much of a divide between some of the top teams, and then you just have these lower teams in the top 25 that just aren't as good.
Well, yeah, and even, I mean, the distance is so big, even teams that are like 5 or 6, you look at Texas A&M now or Houston, the way Houston was a few weeks ago, teams that are kind of on the cusp of a playoff berth, you know, if all the planets aligned, basically. And even then, it's just there is a mountain of difference between a team like Alabama. I would say even a team like Alabama and even the other playoff teams, like – Alabama is consistently at the top.
Yeah.
You know, whereas other playoff teams can kind of come and go.
Yeah, and there are, I would say, about 5 or 6 teams that I would say are legitimately good and could fight between each other, with perhaps the exception of Alabama. And we really won't see how good Alabama actually is until the playoffs, assuming they make it, when they play the teams like Ohio State and Michigan. And that 4th spot's really going to be up for grabs, because you've got teams like Clemson and Washington are fighting for it. Texas A&M, if they beat Alabama, then they're basically going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so really you've got Clemson and Washington fighting for it. Yeah. And then maybe Louisville, although I don't really see it with Clemson having beat them.
You know, probably not, based on the
Clemson would likely get in ahead of Louisville if Louisville was able to claw back.
But, you know, one thing I do notice, though, at least on Alabama, you look at teams that are kind of farther down the rankings now, like Ole Miss and even Arkansas. You know, with Ole Miss, they let in 43 points, and then with Arkansas, they let in 30 points. So, I mean, it's not – I mean, both of those were road games, and I think it's just different playing at Alabama. But it's also, you know, it's not inconceivable that Texas A&M could put up a ton of points. But it's just that gap that may just be too much between the two teams.
Yeah, and that is college football. You never really know, because I wasn't necessarily expecting Ole Miss to come close to beating Alabama. But like you said, they scored a lot of points on that famed Alabama defense.
Yeah.
And so we'll really just have to see. And really, other than that game, there's no, at least particularly special top 25 matchups. There is a matchup, another top 25 matchup. It's Arkansas and I can't remember who else they're playing. It's Arkansas against Auburn, which will hopefully be a good game in its own right. But it's not a top 10 matchup, which top 10 matchups have been sometimes iffy. But overall, they've been relatively good, which is nice to see, because I always hate when you have these really hyped top 10 matchups, sometimes even top 5 matchups.
Oh.
And it's just this royal blowout. It's just ridiculous.
Or you see teams like Florida State, who are picked to be so high and then just tumble.
Yeah. Florida State, Louisville, just that was one of the examples. It was a top 10 matchup, and they blew it. A few years ago, Utah, TCU, and that was like a mid-season deal. That was where both teams had worked their way up. They were both undefeated at the time. It was like 3-5 or something like that. TCU blows Utah out of the water. Just absolutely throws them out in the dumpster on the road. They were playing in Salt Lake City and just absolutely blew the doors off of them.
Which is kind of, I don't know, I think it's kind of great that that's always a possibility with college football, is that somebody can just ruin your night no matter what ranking you are, you know?
Yeah, you've got to show up and actually do something. You know, like Appalachian State going up against Tennessee and then those years ago when they beat Michigan.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move on from college football. We're going to move to the NFL. So we're going to, again, stay in football. There's a few things to talk about, and like we said, this is where we're going to spend a lot of time on quarterbacks. But first, we're closing in on middle of the season. It's week 7, if I'm not mistaken. So we're about 2 weeks removed from the midseason. It's like the middle of week 8 to 9, since, you know, there's 17 weeks. And it doesn't divide evenly by 2. So the question is, Evan, halfway through the season, who would you say your MVP is, or who do you think is going to win the MVP?
MVP?
I can give you some helps. I can give you some statistics and stuff, although not really stats. But I went to ESPN earlier, and they had this poll for the public. And, of course, those aren't necessarily reliable, but it gives you kind of an idea of what people are thinking. And I was limited to 6 players, and so that kind of hurts it because there's some others that people might be thinking. So the 6 players are Sam Bradford, Tom Brady, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, Ben Roethlisberger, and Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Now, the number one vote getter is Ezekiel Elliott at 23%. Okay. Now, granted, when you look at the numbers, 11,000 of, it was probably around 60,000 votes, came from Texas. So keep this in mind when I read all these off. So Ezekiel Elliott was number one. Tom Brady was number two at 22%. Dak Prescott was number three at 20%. Then you had Matt Ryan at 16%. Sam Bradford at 15, Ben Roethlisberger at 4%.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm of the opinion that I think Matt Ryan needs a better look as an MVP candidate. I mean, you know, he's only one touchdown pass behind Roethlisberger for having the lead. He's also leading in passing yards.
Yeah, he's doing awesome.
You know, and he's leading the Falcons on a good, you know, so far a good season-ish. But so I think he should get a better look than that poll suggests, just because of, you know, that's outright performance. You know, putting up those yards and those touchdowns, you know, that's pure performance. I mean, but I would also say a good contender would be Sam Bradford, just because getting on to the Vikings kind of late before the season started and being without Adrian Peterson as an option. And, I mean, granted, this is a Minnesota Vikings team that I think has a lot more pieces than what we've been told, you know, because a lot of the focus is on Adrian Peterson or Teddy Bridgewater last year. But I think they've got more than what gets publicized. But, yeah, I don't know. I think when it comes to that particular poll, I think Matt I would give it to Matt Ryan, in my opinion, just for outright numbers he's put up this year.
Yeah. Now, when you do look at the more objective MVP odds that come out, I believe Vegas put these out. Tom Brady is actually number one at 5-2. Matt Ryan is 15-2, so he's in second. Then you have Ezekiel Elliott, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. And I mentioned to you before the podcast, Aaron Rodgers, 12-1 odds, supposedly in fifth, 12-1 odds to win the MVP. And I just thought, okay. And we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers later in the show, but we're not going to talk about how he's in the MVP race. We're gonna be singing and whistling a much different tune. But
yeah, even like QB rating, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't see him. Although Matt Ryan, I'll just add, does lead QB rating with 117.
Yeah, in getting back into the MVP race, I agree with it. When I was thinking, okay, who are my MVP candidates? The first thought that came to my mind was Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Because he is playing so well. Now, I do believe that Tom Brady should be in there. He's only played 2 weeks, but he's on pace to throw for more than 6,000 yards. Well, actually, no. If he had played all the games up to this point, I did the math wrong. He's actually on pace to throw for 4,600 yards.
Still.
In 12 games.
Yeah.
He's averaging 391 pass yards a game. Now, obviously, Tom Brady will not keep that pace up. It's just not going to happen. He'll be lucky to throw for 4,000 yards this season just because he's losing four games of statistics. But keep in mind, he threw for 3,900 yards one season, was the unanimous MVP. So it's not always about yards. And so I think by the end of the season, when Tom Brady's actually played more than two games, people will begin talking about him. But if Matt Ryan keeps up the pace, then he's definitely in the conversation because he's on pace to throw for some I think he's on pace for over 5,000 yards.
Yeah, because he's at just over 2,000 right now. You know, and so the next person closest to him is Eli Manning, just under 1,800. So, yeah. I don't know, I just think there's enough categories where Matt Ryan is either leading or is in second place as a quarterback that, you know. But, I mean, yeah, if Tom Brady even keeps somewhat of that pace that he's on right now, given that even him being gone for 4 weeks looks like the Patriots could still go to a Super Bowl.
You know? Yeah, they're 5-1 right now.
Yeah.
They've blown the last two teams out that they've played. They're overall playing really well, and they're the top team in the AFC right now, without question. And obviously that'll help his MVP odds, because really when you look at this list, everybody that's on these lists in either one, either the poll on ESPN or the odds that Vegas puts out, they're all on winning teams, except for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Packers are 3-3, but I can't remember.
I don't know.
But you have Russell Wilson. His team's, I think, lost two games. I think they're 4-2 or something like that. They might have had a bye. The Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott, they're 5-1. Matt Ryan, obviously they're 4-2, I believe, right now. And then Tom Brady's team is 5-1. Sam Bradford's team is 6-0. Or 5-0.
Kind of the surprise of the year.
Yeah, definitely the surprise of the year.
Last time I checked, it was 5-0, so I don't.
It just had a bye, so.
Okay.
They should be one game behind the other teams, like everybody who's played six games. So, and that is one thing. It's really interesting about this year is that the MVP race seems kind of boring. Because you look at a lot of the preseason people, like I picked Aaron Rodgers, which is a dumb pick at this point. Although I still have 12-1 chance, guys. Yeah. 12-1 chance of being the smartest man in the room for guessing in preseason. But we were looking at guys like Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger. Nobody had Matt Ryan in the conversation. You throw in Russell Wilson. I don't know, maybe Adrian Peterson because you wanted to throw a running back in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, because Adrian Peterson, he was back and ready to go.
Yeah.
So I think had he been around that, you know, maybe the conversation would be different. But.
Yeah, you look at this. I mean, who would have put Ezekiel Elliott or Matt Ryan in the conversation? And who would have had Aaron Rodgers as the fifth highest as far as odds? Nobody, really.
No.
And that goes into another subject that's really been getting more and more attention, and that is that the NFL's TV ratings are going down. Some of the estimates I've heard, and I don't know how true they are, I've heard people throwing out estimates that fall anywhere in the 15 to 25% range, which 25% is enormous.
Yeah.
Losing 25% of your audience. And you wonder, what are the causes? This might be one of them. Who are the stars of the league? Tom Brady, half the NFL hates him. Cam Newton, he sucks this year.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, he's not doing so hot either. Somebody, I was listening to a show and they're going through all the leaders in quarterback rating, like so guys like Matt Ryan, and just I can't even remember all the guys because they're nobodies when you look at the regular guys, the Tom Brady's, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger's, Peyton Manning's now gone, and so you can't look to him. All the star guys are out. Adrian Peterson's injured. J.J. Watt, he's injured.
Well, it's such a quarterback heavy.
Yeah.
Race, too, which I guess is kind of understandable given how crucial a quarterback is. But
yeah, the MVP race is always dominated by quarterbacks. Yeah.
But still, it's like, you know, it'd be nice to see more running backs. You know,
yeah, but there aren't any good running backs. Who are the best running backs in the league? David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. Like, these are new guys that I don't really look to as elite running backs. I consider Adrian Peterson the last of a dying breed, being an actual true elite franchise back. There's no franchise backs besides him.
Yeah, and if his injuries continue to plague him, it's like how many more years are you gonna sit out?
Yeah, his career is coming to a close.
Yeah,
he's probably got one good year left in him, in all honesty, and he might not
provided
even have
he
that.
Doesn't get injured. Really.
Yeah, if he can make it through one more season without injury, I believe he can put up another 1,000-plus yard season. That's it, and he might as well be gone. And so you just look, there's no up-and-coming players that you can really look to as far as being stars. I mean, the biggest ones are Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, but there's not a ton of hype behind him.
Well, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the most expert fan in the world, obviously, on the NFL, but it's like just the storylines I don't know are there.
Because
it's like you had, for instance, back when Peyton Manning was still with Indianapolis and he was going for the record, the 49 touchdown record or whatever that was.
Back in like 2006?
Yeah, way back when. And then obviously that year or a couple of years, somewhere around that, you also had when the Steelers went 15-1 and it's like everybody was hoping that they would, or at least everybody where I was hoping they would do it. I just don't. Other than, I think, the Vikings having a surprising season, I just don't see that many storylines in that sense. Like, there's no, I don't know, I'm not, like, counting down for something, you know?
Yeah, that is, I definitely agree, and I think there's also an issue of some of the games are very interesting. You look through the games this week, there aren't really a whole ton of interesting games. The most interesting one was going to be New England and Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger got hurt.
Yeah.
And so that's not going to be nearly as exciting.
All these good teams keep blowing it, you know?
Yeah,
and it's
and
like
that
my
too.
Picks are terrible this year, even though I had good reason for making all of them. Because somehow even the good teams are choking at what games that maybe should have been.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has now done that twice this season.
Yeah.
They had a dud against Philly, and we kind of all shrugged our shoulders and said, well, there's a dud. Well, he just did it again against Miami. Granted, there was some injury with Ben Roethlisberger, but he did play for most of the game. Landry Jones only threw one pass in that game.
Well, then, you know, we go back to, like, the TV viewership. You know, there's been criticism this year of Thursday Night Football, at least the quality of the games this year as well, because they've been like
the actual games. I know I love the fact that they're on Twitter. I can actually watch football.
Yeah, no, I mean I like that part, but it's like they've been blowouts, or some teams just don't show up.
Yeah,
for Thursday Night Football. And I mean I get it that sometimes you're just gonna have a game like that, but
they're happening more and more often.
Yeah, and that's the issue here.
Yeah, and I think going back to the thing about storylines, I think you're really correct in that, in the sense that you look at what was the number one storyline this summer.
At least for me, it was waiting to see Broncos and Panthers go at it again.
Okay.
I mean, you that's not the biggest
page.
Thing. But I mean, just like looking forward to that, you know?
For me, the biggest thing was Deflategate.
Okay. Yeah.
And how many of us were just begging whatever deities we worship for everyone and their dog to stop beating the freaking dead horse that was Deflategate?
Yeah.
That's where that turned off half the NFL fans.
Well, yeah, because it just got so, like, we're talking about minutiae of air pressure in a football.
Yeah.
I'm just a little skeptical how much that actually helps anybody.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and avoid this discussion. Yeah. Yeah, you talk about making a mountain out of a molehill. Like you said, just a lot of little tiny difference in air pressure in one game, and bam. 2 years of please shut the heck up legal stuff invading the NFL.
Well, yeah, and it's like the NFL decides to put its foot down on discipline and this is the thing they want to win. This is the victory they want to have. You know, we've had issues with, when we're talking about NFL discipline, we've had issues with like off the field crap and, you know, all the, like the domestic violence and other stuff like that. And it's like the one thing the NFL really chooses to pursue is the air pressure in the footballs for the AFC title game, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah, and so that's the storyline. Hello, NFL. We're going to talk about air pressure and balls. let's talk about this for 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that you're not watching our NFL games, please come back to us.
Yeah.
And so that I really think we've kind of come to an agreement there. There's definitely some things wrong with the NFL, the way they're handling it.
Yeah.
They're not marketing it as well as they used to. And Roger Goodell's kind of lost more popularity. I mean, commissioners of the major sports have never really been popular. I mean, how many people absolutely hated the guts out of David Stern?
Yeah.
Like, everybody.
Yeah. And, NFL being the NFL commissioner certainly hasn't.
Yeah, Roger Goodell. He's not very popular. If he did a popularity poll, he'd probably be worse than Donald Trump right now. Everybody hates him. It's not just New England Patriots fans who hate him for Deflategate. People just don't like him.
Yeah, and so it's just, I don't know. There's just like we were talking about that sort of storyline or it factor. You know, you just look through the NFL history, and there's plenty of this stuff. It's like, you know, 85 Bears or the Iron Curtain in Pittsburgh. It's like there's always something going on.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get to this year and it's like, at least for me, going back to me personally, it was like, oh yeah, Carolina. They're going to finally fix what was wrong and they're going to finally get their first Super Bowl win. And they collapse.
Yeah, just
and even collapse. The Broncos are collapsing. At least they're in a skid.
Yeah, you do look at those teams. Like you said, they're all falling apart. The NFC has just completely been turned on its head. The only team that's really got sort of on their feet is the Seahawks. Yeah, you look at this year. Who are the two best teams? A no-name Vikings team that's missing Adrian Peterson.
Which, the way it's been going, maybe has a shot at winning the conference.
Yeah, they might. They're probably the best team in the NFL right now. The other one, the villains of the league in the Patriots. Everybody hates them. Every time
which is like nothing new, though.
Yeah. You know? And
it's like 12 years old people have been hating them. So it's like that's not even new.
It's just there's much less popularity. Now, we're going to move on from NFL popularity and continue to talk about quarterbacks. We're going to go back to Dallas. Okay. Dak Prescott and Tony Romo. Now, this is a debate that's really been heating up past couple of weeks. You've got Dak Prescott, who's been playing pretty darn well. And then you have Tony Romo, the established veteran quarterback. Now, when I was thinking about this earlier this week, I kind of had the thought, this reminds me, in a number of ways, of the Tom Brady situation in New England, the Tom Brady Drew Bledsoe situation. And now I'm obviously not saying that Dak Prescott is the next Tom Brady. That isn't necessarily out of the question at this point because we never know what's going to happen. But you don't really run into all-time great quarterbacks just walking down the street. But you look at the way Dak Prescott's playing. He's got an 82.8 QBR. And that's pretty darn good for a season average through six games. I mean, most quarterbacks would like to have that for one game. He's got it for his season so far.
He's averaging at least a touchdown a game
mm-hmm.
passing.
Yeah, he's only got one interception. He broke Tom Brady's record for most attempts without an interception to start a career. Really random stat, but he beat Tom Brady in that sense.
And close to 1,500 passing yards total.
And through only six games. So he's averaging almost 250 yards a game. Like I said, a touchdown a game. Much less than an interception per game because he's only thrown one through six games. His team is 5-1. He's completing almost 69% of his passes. 103.9 rating. This guy's he's not putting up game manager stats. He's putting up starting NFL quarterback, borderline Pro Bowl caliber quarterback stats as a rookie.
Well, yeah, and that plus you look at that string of years with the Cowboys 8-8, 8-8, 8-8 constantly. And you look at the pace they're on now at 5-1.
Yeah, I mean they're on pace.
That's finally a playoff looking team. You know, that's a playoff caliber team. I mean, I wouldn't say they're necessarily the best team or close to it, but that's a lot better than, you know, winding up 8-8 all over again.
Yeah, and I will say this, something you mentioned that you don't necessarily think they're one of the better teams in the NFC. You do take a look at their schedule, and it's actually not super impressive. They've beaten the Giants, the Redskins, the Bears, 49ers, the Bengals, and the Packers. Now, you look at that schedule, it isn't very impressive. The defenses haven't been spectacular either. They're on average, below the average. I did the math. Their average rank is like 17.6 or something like that. And the average pass defense is 15.3 or something
like that. Yeah, so this is like a first playoff round loss, but still a playoff team.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not necessarily saying that they're just a product of their schedule. Now, they will play a game against Philadelphia, a very crucial division game. They'll play Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And they really don't. Just keep looking through the schedule. They don't really play anybody, do they? They play the Vikings in week 13. So.
That'll be tough. I think that'll be finally a real test.
But. Yeah, that'll probably be the defining game because, I mean, in between now and that game, the two toughest games are Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And I'm still not sold on Philadelphia and Pittsburgh's iffy. If they have Ben Roethlisberger back, which some of the indications I've seen could be anywhere between 2 and 6 weeks, which would either be coming back against Dallas or, you know, not coming back until like week 13 or something like that. And so Dallas really should make the playoffs at this point, the way they're going, the way they're beating all these teams.
But now, I don't think they'll threaten.
Yeah. Now whether or not they'll be worth the 10-6 or 12-4 record they may or may not have, will
because it is the depend. NFC East. So.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind the NFC East has actually got several good teams. They've got like, they've got the Packers. The Cowboys at 5-1, and I believe both the Redskins and Eagles are at 4-2. And then I totally forgot who else is in that division. Oh, the Giants. They're 3-3, I think.
So it's not bad.
They're not that bad.
It's not bad yet.
They've probably got one of the better records in as far as total division. No. As compared to maybe the NFC South or something like that. No, the AFC South. That's the trash bin division this year.
Who even knows? I don't even know what's going on in the
next 7-9 team to make the playoffs, everybody. Brock Osweiler and the Texans. Yeah, seriously, that's such a terrible division. People think
that was a letdown with the Texans. That was a letdown. I mean, you know, at least the way they had started off that season, that was, I don't know.
Which season? This one?
Well, I mean, when they started off all right. This season.
Yeah, this season. Yeah, they're doing all right, and then they got shut out by the Patriots.
Yeah.
They just can't be the Patriots for the life of them. I still remember that game where I watched them, Monday Night Football game, where they came out in those Letterman jackets.
Oh, yeah.
So smug about everything, all the trash-talking Texas fans.
And then got
destroyed. Yeah, and they got destroyed twice that season by the Patriots. Once then, once in the playoffs.
Yeah, there is a delicious sports karma out there.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as it's not my team being dealt the business end of it, it's funny, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I just really loved it because, and it was mostly because the fans were being so obnoxious, which I will say this, as a Patriots fan, I really have no room to be trashing on anybody else's fan base because there are some obnoxious as heck Patriots fans. But I'm not going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I promise.
You choose to make the difference in
yes.
this world.
I will be the civilized fan. All right. But back to Tony Romo and Dak Prescott. Yeah. Do you think they should go back to Tony Romo, the Cowboys?
No.
Yeah.
No, I just think he's kind of a liability at this point. I mean, when he's been at the helm there, it hasn't been... If team records and playoff appearances are any indicator, it just hasn't been an impressive run. And then you got this rookie. And it's, what's also interesting, it's kind of weird to think about, but he's like less than a year older than me, which is weird to see like NFL.
Yeah, he's
professional athletes are like now my age, which is weird. But anyway, but as a rookie, you know, he's not even at the prime age for quarterbacks, and he's still putting up fantastic numbers, at least for what he's working with.
Yeah.
And he's leading a division by several games at this point in the season. So just keep him. You know, clearly he, you know, it's not easy to transition to the NFL from college because it's a different game, but clearly he did it.
Yeah, he's done it. And
he should stay there. So.
Yeah, and I do definitely agree they should stay with Dak Prescott just because you're not getting anything out of Tony Romo that you're not getting out of Dak Prescott. And really, what the Cowboys should do when he gets healthy, dupe some team like the Browns into giving you a first or second round pick for Tony Romo. Like, seriously, yeah. There's some dumb teams out there that you can get a nice draft pick for a guy you don't want anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe.
A team like the Browns would be desperate enough.
Yeah, they might trade a first round pick. Have a semblance
of a season to get him along.
Yeah, and they're kind of rebuilding, so they may not quite fall for that, but they'd come close. Just think of teams, the Jets.
Yeah,
the Jets.
Even if it's just some small, few-year contract, you know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, just trade him.
Yeah,
you've got the future, because that's the other thing is Tony Romo's old. He's in his late 30s,
yeah.
And he's, I mean, he'll get injured often as I will, out there nowadays. And I'm some young, out of shape guy. He's supposed to be in the prime of his life, and so really. They just need to stay with Dak Prescott. There really shouldn't even be a debate.
Yeah.
Anybody who's really thinking they should go back to Romo is probably related to Tony Romo.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think it really comes down to the fact that they've had him there for a long time, and he's had years to lead that team to something better than what they were. And they're not doing it. And they bring in this young kid and 5-1. So it's just simple to me, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And given Dak Prescott's not a guarantee, because we've seen plenty of young quarterbacks do well and then fade into the distance. RG3, Colin Kaepernick, who, you know, he had a wonderful game this week, didn't we? Didn't he? 13 of 29, 180 yards.
Yeah.
But yeah. It'll be really harsh if Dak Prescott goes into next season, if they do actually trade Tony Romo or cut him or whatever, and Dak Prescott goes out next season and flops, they'll probably take a lot of heat for it. But really, it's the risk you do need to take.
Yeah, and I think they'll know it better. They'll know better once the Cowboys really get a challenge later on in the season.
Yeah, and the bigger sample size you do get on him,
yeah,
definitely the more they'll know.
But, you know, being almost halfway through the season, you know, and only one loss. I mean, you know, all things considered, I'd say that's pretty good. I think he's earned it so far.
So, speaking of losses, Cam Newton. 1-5 Panthers, they're falling to bits. And yeah. We talked about this several weeks ago. When we were talking about, you know, people having Cam Newton, they were putting him in the elite quarterback status. They were saying, you know, he's one of the best. A lot of people were saying he is the best quarterback in the league. I believe both me and you really reached a consensus that yeah, he was probably the best QB last season.
Yeah.
We wanted to wait and see how he did.
Yeah. I think he personally has what it takes to be a great quarterback. I just don't know what's happening with his team.
I think he has all the physical tools to be a quarterback. And mind you, there have been 1,001 NFL busts who have had the physical capabilities of playing their position. Jamarcus Russell had the tools to be, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. We know how that went. Cam Newton is similar in the sense that he has all the tools. He's big, he's strong, he's got a good arm, he's shown he can be accurate, he's a great runner. He could be great. But a lot of this is going to come down to the intangibles. And we've talked about this before, where there's quarterbacks who've fallen off the edge because they don't have the intangibles. Colin Kaepernick is probably one of the poster child in this case, where he's got a lot of the talent, but he doesn't work hard. He's not a leader, and that just isn't a good recipe to be an elite quarterback. You look at Jay Cutler, I believe it was Martellus Bennett or some other former teammates just said he's not a leader.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, especially going to Jay Cutler, I mean, that game where he took himself out, he was throwing for the Bears and took himself out and said he had like a thumb problem or whatever, and it's just like...
Okay, man.
All right, well...
I've had thumb problems, too, and I still play.
And it just gave Hoyer the chance he wanted, but that's on a side note. I don't want to get us off track, but... Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks we're talking about, I don't think Cam Newton is one of those. I think that, for several reasons. One, this year when he's been in, I mean, he's gotten close to 1,300, just a hair under 1,300 yards. I think he's four shy of that. Eight passing touchdowns this year, or eight touchdowns. But I also think you look at last season leading them all the way to a Super Bowl. It just doesn't – yeah, he's having kind of a bumpy road right now, but I don't think he personally really fits the mold of a bust. Because I think he has led his team to a Super Bowl and –
And Colin Kaepernick led his team to a Super Bowl.
True. But I don't know. I feel like Cam Newton is still... I would still trust him. I don't trust this Panthers team, but I would trust Cam Newton to make something happen. But I think what's hard is that, you know, like way back at the beginning of the season before, you know, the season played out the way it did, you know, I picked the Carolina Panthers were going to return and finally avenge themselves. So... I don't know. I've given up on the Panthers, but I haven't given up on Cam Newton. So I think he'll still be a great quarterback. I just don't know what's going on with the rest of his team. So. Yeah.
So I do agree that he's not going to be in the Cam or the Colin Kaepernick RG3 trash heap of quarterback teases that they look like they're good and then they're terrible. But I do think that he's not necessarily going to be in the great category. Because you look at it, he's never been, you're looking at his stats, he's never been an elite thrower. He's generally under 60% on his completion percentage. If you want to be an elite quarterback, you got to be in the 65% range. He's not even close to that. This season, he's throwing 57.8%. As opposed to last year, he was at almost 60%. He was 59.8%. He was averaging 7.1 touchdowns. His touchdown percentage was 7.1. This season it's 4.4. You look at his stats all around. They're taking a huge dip. His quarterback rating last season, 99.4. This season it's 81.2. QBR, total QBR, last season 66.09. This season 56. And so, like I said, he's not going to be a bust. Like I said, he would be at the beginning of his career. I said he was going to be a bust. I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. He is, in my opinion, a guy that you can build a team around. Last season is really the epitome of that. You build a team around him, you've got a Super Bowl caliber team. Yeah. As long as you've got the pieces. Some of those pieces have left. Josh Norman is the most notable of those. Although I will say, one guy's not going to make a team, especially a defense. And so, really, there's more problems than just Josh Norman. But really, I do think that Cam Newton, sometimes his attitude, don't make him an elite quarterback that will be a Hall of Famer in any sense. I mean, at best, he's going to be multi-time Pro Bowler, good, Super Bowl-capable winning quarterback, but never quite an all-time great. Because I think one of the differences between guys like Cam Newton and you have other leaders, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, at one point in his career, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger. It's the, I will follow you no matter what's going on. I will follow you just no matter what. I would go into battle with that guy any day of the week. With Cam Newton, it's, I'll go to battle with you if we're winning. You know, if we're having a good season, then, you know, if they're winning, Cam Newton is a leader. He's an awesome, positive guy. He's energy. When they're not winning, he's pouty. He's whiny.
Yeah, well, I will say, kind of, I mean, maybe me sticking up for him is because I kind of wanted him, you know, to be much greater. But I think, you know, when I also thinking about how great last season for Carolina was and then just how awful this season was and just that huge drop off, I mean, it does make me reconsider a little bit my complete support, you know. Because I just think that's such a big dip. It's not like making it to the Super Bowl and just not quite making it the next year. But it's, you know, making it to the Super Bowl and then 1-5 through the first 6 weeks. So I would say just the extreme drop-off. It just doesn't look consistent. I'll give it that. I don't know how consistent. Like, and I think that's what you were – part of what you were getting at was, like, when we're winning, it's really fantastic. If we're not, it's not great. And I think, yeah, there are some consistency issues with his performance as a quarterback.
Yeah, and so that's one of the things. I'm not going to consider him an elite quarterback, not yet. He might have an elite stretch. At this point, this being his sixth season, I don't know if he'll ever be an actual elite quarterback. And for similar reasons, I always say this, for the same reasons I don't consider Eli Manning an elite quarterback. Sustained greatness. And when I, again, I was thinking about this earlier today, I was reminded of the aftermath of Joe Flacco and the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. There are people who are saying, okay, Joe Flacco's the next elite guy. There was one guy, I was watching a show, and he put Joe Flacco as the best quarterback in the league, ahead of guys. And you think of the period, it was like 2011, 2012. Aaron Rodgers was in his prime. Tom Brady was really good. Ben Roethlisberger was really good, and Peyton Manning was pretty good there too. And he said Joe Flacco's the best. Why? His only reason was because they'd won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He had no other reason, so it's kind of stupid in that sense. Just saying he's the best because his team won the Super Bowl. But now you look, Joe Flacco was the next big thing after that 1 year, really the one playoff series. Yeah. Now look at him. He's basically one of the worst contracts in the NFL. Starting caliber quarterback, but...
Yeah. And I guess with Cam Newton, you know, given that he has been in the league for a few years prior to the Super Bowl, I thought, you know, I took it as a sign, okay, he's maturing, he's yeah. getting his tools together. Because, you know, it's like if the prime age for a quarterback is like 27-ish, kind of around that, you know, and you're starting right out of college, it's like, okay, it'll take some time. But I don't know, he clearly hasn't built on whatever improvement he did made over – Yeah. make over those 6 years.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right in saying that we thought he had matured. We thought he had finally reached the precipice. But as it turns out, he didn't really fix anything. His team just started winning. And then suddenly he's this mature leader. Now there's headlines. Once again, they're calling Cam Newton out and is pouting. You know, he had the one press conference. He was, you know, a little angry, not happy. Snapped a little bit at reporters. Of course, Bill Belichick's done that before.
Yeah. But yeah. And that just may be, maybe he has an emotional style about him, which can be harnessed to do really well. But a lot of times it does eat away at a player. I mean, because I can see, obviously, there's two ways to it. Either you can take your emotions and let them help make you a better player and make you more driven, or it can just, you know, just destroy, kind of just derail you. So
yeah,
I could see it going either way at this point.
Yeah, and it has gone either way. Like I said, when he's winning, he's having tons of fun, he's energetic, and he uses it to make himself better. And again, like you said, it can drain him when he's not winning. So not a whole lot of fun for him, I guess, right now. Kind of like Odell Beckham Jr., how he wasn't having fun.
Yeah. But that's another player that lets his emotions get the better of him way too easily.
Yeah, just a little bit. Now, speaking of emotions and losing hold of them, we're going to talk a little bit about Bill Belichick, and we're going to end the season on a bit of a funny note. So, Bill Belichick, I saw this news through Twitter, and there's been a GIF going around for a couple weeks now where Bill Belichick, he's holding his tablets, so those blue tablets, they're the Windows Surface things, I guess. Okay. The Windows paid the NFL to start distributing them for them to be used on the sidelines. Bill Belichick, he's got his, and it was against the Bills when they were being shut out 16-0. But you can see him, he just kind of starts walking away towards the sideline. He takes it off his hand. You kind of miss that part. But then he just slams it against one of the training tables. And I watched it over and over to see if the tablet broke, but you can't really tell. But he just threw it on the thing. And he was not happy. And I think most people just thought he was ticked off because his team was losing and would eventually get shut out in that game. But this week, he came out and basically said, I'm done with the tablets. Basically calling in the old-fashioned card. And there were even reports where the Patriots had trouble with their sideline communications last week. Although Belichick said that's a common problem, but it just came out. Although if it had been the Patriots' opponent, they would have been accused of cheating and we'd have a whole...
Someone bugged our tablets.
Yes.
Just not as fun as like slamming a clipboard and smashing that up.
Yeah. It makes it bigger.
Cheaper to replace.
Yeah, it is cheaper to replace a clipboard. But that's basically what Bill Belichick is going back to. He's going to go back to holding the paper, you know, hold it in front of your mouth to hide yourself from the camera so they can't see what you're saying and... You know, all the pictures and the playbook and all that stuff.
Old school, and got to respect that.
Yeah, Belichick's going old school, and to be honest, he could probably coach with both hands tied behind his back, and he'd probably still outcoach all of the NFL because it's Bill Belichick, you know. But decided, in the spirit of fun, we're going to play a kind of a transcript between Bill Belichick and somebody else.
Hey, Nicole, have you gotten those reports done yet?
No, boss. Actually, my tablet isn't working. I need a new one. One that's faster, has better resolution, and thinner.
Oh, that reminds me. Have you seen those commercials for the iPad Air? I've heard they are faster, thinner, and have better resolution.
La la. Yeah. La, la. I wish our company could afford those.
Sorry, what did you say, Nicole?
Nothing, boss.
Well, since you are on the topic of the iPad Air, I guess I should give you your Christmas present from the company. Nicole, I present to you the iPad Air.
Oh, wow! Thanks, boss!
All right, so a little bit of voice change, but that was, you know, Bill Belichick and Roger Goodell having a conversation about the tablets that the Patriots had. But I guess after that, Bill Belichick just decided, I'm not going to have them.
Nah. I'm going to go back to talking like Bill Belichick, too, after that particular transcript.
Yeah. I just want to be funny just because, you know, I was reading a bunch of comments and people were always saying, well, the Windows Surface things are terrible anyway, so just figured, just get an iPad, Bill. That's what I got. I have an iPad, albeit I won it in a contest. I did not pay for it.
Although, don't let him borrow your tablet.
Yeah, don't ever lend.
To smash it.
Yeah, don't ever lend him your stuff. So, if you haven't seen that, just go look it up. Just type in Bill Belichick tablet, and you'll find it in 5 seconds. Watch him smash a tablet. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening. You're all awesome. Hope you guys were comfortable sitting like a champ, reclining like a champ. Remember, always listen to Armchair Champions. We'll see you later.